So I watched Wayne's World the other day.
Yeah.
I rewatched it.
Yeah.
So now every time where I used to would have say awesome, I say excellent now.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I don't say awesome anymore. Basically.
So every time you see a bee, you want you to say swing.
Yeah. I think we should party on, guys, right?
Party excellent.
On, yeah, excellent.
Sessionable.
All right, welcome to Sessionable. We haven't done this for a while. It's just us three and our silent producer.
He's actually producing today.
He is.
Wow.
We've updated our...
he's giving us the finger.
Our equipment. So he's got proper headphones on. He's got a mixing desk and a laptop in front of him. I don't think he's used to actually doing anything during this, so...
Yeah. This might be a disaster.
Yeah.
This is the world's most expensive bottle opener.
We're not paying him.
Oh, shit.
He's going to stop recording now out of spite, isn't he?
Goodbye, everyone. See you next episode.
Right down. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is it's an episode that is a bit different from what we've done before. We usually very consciously try to stay very positive on this show. This episode, we're going to talk about the issues we see in the beer industry, problems that we have with the beer industry, but we hopefully will do it in a constructive way. That's what I at least aim to do.
We're just going to be slagging off everything
after
a few beers, I think.
We'll do our best not to, call out individual brewers on certain things. I think there are things that I will call out individual brewers on because they should be called out on. But
I will be calling out.
For the most part, we're not just going to randomly hate on brewers. That's not the point of this.
This guy sucks and this guy sucks.
Yeah, and there's some brewers that I don't like but aren't part of this discussion, and so we're not going to mention those guys, and that's nothing to do with it. We're just talking about actual problems that we see in this industry. I'll start, or...
Well, let's just start with a bit of a catch-up.
Yeah.
Since we haven't done this in a while, what have you guys been up to in terms of beer stuff?
I've been pretty busy, but... just the usual kind of beer stuff.
Just working at like 10 different venues.
Oh, you know me. Yeah.
Beer slut.
That's what my... I actually got a... Did you see the photo?
Yeah, where did that come from?
So that's Christy down at the Royal Albert.
Right.
She draws everyone. Well, she doesn't draw everyone's. I had drawn my own one and it was terrible. So Christy drew one for me and it was excellent. It looks like me. It says beer slut, and that's
my beard and glasses. So it's pretty close.
It looks
like
me.
Yeah, yeah.
But you should see the other ones that she's done of other people look like the other people.
They're really good drawings.
And so we're trying to fill up that wall with drawings of people on coasters to like.
I thought you were about to say they're trying to get you a beer slut t-shirt.
Oh, maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of t-shirts, I was thinking of doing sessionable t-shirts. Do we want to do that?
Maybe we should. Maybe we should have it as one of the prizes in our in our Sydney Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, I was thinking it was a good. Yeah, maybe let's do that. Let's have good segue, Adrian.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
speaking of Sydney Craft Beer Week,
what is this event you speak of?
Oh well, Liam. Now that you ask, you may have heard we've kind of briefly mentioned it on the last couple of episodes, but we are going to be doing a live sessionable episode at Sydney Craft Beer Week on Monday the 20th. It's going to be excellent.
You had to think so hard.
I was like, I was going to say excellent, and I was like, should I say awesome? I was like, no, I'm going to say excellent. It's going to be incredible. We've got two awesome guests lined up, and we're looking at getting a third surprise guest. It might be on the day that the surprise is...
There's no guest.
But or it's Liam's mum.
Liam's mum.
I'm working on it, trust me.
She's busy that week, as she is.
It's more if I let her come.
is that our only ticket so far? Liam's mum.
So tickets are, I think, just over $50. We set them at $50, but there's obviously the processing fees on top. And there's I think there's 20 tickets available.
Yep.
So it's not going to be a huge room.
Yeah. And one of the questions.
It's going to be a fucking drunk room, though. I'm telling you now.
One of the questions I've gotten is, you know, is it just entry? And it's not. No. It comes with beer.
There's going to be some food involved as well.
Oh, is it beer and
food?
Yeah.
Definitely nibbles at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. There'll be.
It's not going to be a meal.
Yeah. No. But
but there will be several beers. Yeah. There will be prizes as well. Yeah. And you know, if there's only 20 people, that's 1 in 20 chance of winning something awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Something excellent.
No, it's. I think it's. What we really worked on is making it the most value for money event.
Exactly.
And the amount of shit that's getting chucked in for your 50-odd bucks is pretty decent.
Yeah, we're not looking to make any money from this personally. And neither is when we had a chat with the Pump House, who we're putting it on. They're happy for it to just basically be the most bang for your buck possible. So that's what we're going to aim to do. And I think you can, you know, hopefully you can trust us to put on a kick-ass event. So we can announce two of our guests. We've announced it before, but, you know, we'll say it here. So we have Dave from Riverside.
Excellent.
Yeah. Riverside Excellent. That feels wrong. It still has to be Riverside Awesome, doesn't it?
Who knows?
We need to bug Dave to do, like, a beer with him and just call it Riverside Awesome.
Yeah.
I've asked Dave if I could do a collaboration with him. He's like, no way. So it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And we've also got Shane from Six Point. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I'm really excited about that because he couldn't make it down last time he was scheduled to come down.
Yeah, and we were going to record a little private episode with him when he was going to come down. But now, instead of doing that, you guys can come, and you can meet him, and you can be part of it. You can ask questions. We'll have questions of part of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, they can ask the questions for us, and we can just sit back and get
pretty much. So basically, pay your 50-odd bucks and do our job for us.
We'll just stand back. And,
We all get drunk together.
We all get drunk together, drinking awesome beers. Every beer that we drink on the panel, you'll be having in front of you as well.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that we'll be a Six Point and a Riverside beer in there.
That's the plan.
And probably a few more.
Oh, definitely a few more. Definitely
some quite Pump House signature moves.
Yeah.
Probably
some sessionable signature moves as well.
Most likely some Gunna Matter because they have that on all the time at the Pump House. Thanks to our producer.
Our producer's doing a little dance of joy.
So anyway, we can get him to come.
We pay him in Gunna Matter.
Speaking of which.
Now that that's out of the way, should we say what we're drinking?
So I haven't even actually drunk this today.
I haven't had a sip yet.
Because I'm still on the back of Sex, Drugs and Rocky Road, and how good is that beer?
Oh, it's incredible.
Because it just tastes like Rocky Road.
It absolutely does. I knew it was good. I knew it was always at Gab's a toss-up between this and the Praline for me.
I went for Rocky Road over Praline.
I went for Praline, but
I would be more than happy for any of the two to win. So,
I agree. That's delicious. But we've all got in front of us the Burley My Wife's Bitter.
So we haven't really said what the subject... we briefly mentioned
it? We briefly mentioned it. What
pisses us off?
It's what pisses us off. What grinds our gears, So we're having the Burley My Wife's Bitter. I really enjoy drinking this beer, and I've had it quite a lot. But we'll start off with, I guess something that's been on my mind quite a bit recently, and not just in the beer industry. Everywhere.
It's pretty much everywhere.
It is everywhere, and that's the worst thing about it, I think. And that is basically sexism. And I know this is three dudes talking to you about sexism. So
yeah, it's a bit weird.
It is a bit weird. If you want probably a better point of view on the topic than just three dudes sitting in a room talking about sexism, the Beer Diary podcast from New Zealand just did two episodes where they basically handed off their podcast to a group of women in the beer industry, and they recorded basically this epic like 4-hour thing that they split up into two episodes, and it is incredible. I might save that as my recommendation for the end. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I think it's also kind of... it forms a loose kind of trilogy between Beer Diary Ale of a Time and us, because Ale of a Time recently did an episode about sexism in beer. So, maybe it was bound to happen that we were going to say, you know, talk about some negative things on the podcast.
Yeah, so this is the other day I was reading a blog post by a beer blogger who I respect immensely. Mm-hmm. And it was about a brand of beer called Uncle Joe's. And I might put a picture in the show notes of the Uncle Joe's label. And in this article, which was questioning the quality of the beer and whether it was any good, and I haven't had the beer, so I've got nothing to say on that subject. Doesn't sound too good, but I've nothing to say on that. But the blogger, should I say? Okay, so Glenn Humphreys, who I absolutely respect so much. I think he's one of my favourite beer writers in the industry, and I'm not trying to call him out on this necessarily. I'm more calling out Uncle Joe's. But in his article, he questioned whether he said basically some people might find these labels sexist, and that he doesn't because they refer to classic pinup style imagery, which is fine, but I disagree on him that they're not sexist. I think they are, and I think what gets it for me is that each beer has a girl's name for the beer. So the pale ale is the Lucy.
Mm.
So you've got the Uncle Joe's Lucy, which just is, I don't know, creepily possessive. I think it's like a dude owning that, and the combination of the male brand name and the female imagery and thing. It's using the female body to sell to men, and that to me is sexist.
I think it's the unnecessary underboob of Lucy on the label.
Yeah, he did say in Glenn's defense, and I'm not trying to, you know, I have no beef with Glenn at all. In his defense, he did call out the pale ale, especially. He said this one I do think is over the line. I thought all of them were over the line, but. Yeah.
Mm.
So this brings us to a larger point in the beer industry, is that it is the beer industry a sexist industry, do we think?
I think it is.
It still is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it always has been. A lot of industries
I think we're slowly changing, and when, you know, especially in the craft beer industry, I think it's a very progressive industry. I know lots of women in the industry who are incredible at their jobs, and they are respected for what they do.
Mm.
But that's we're not close to perfection yet. I think
it's still very much like an old world and a new world thing. Mm-hmm. There's an older generational thinking that, you know, beers for men and all that, and, you know, it should be made by men and all that bullshit. And that's changing.
Yeah, it is changing. And do you know what gets me the most about that? Is that, like, it automatically... It's convincing 50% of the population that they shouldn't try it.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
It is. Like, it just does not make any sense to me. It's... We've all bartended. You get a girl who comes in... A woman who comes in and goes, "No, I don't really like beer."
Mm.
And you know what? I don't blame them for saying that, because beer doesn't really like them for the most part.
It's like anyone that doesn't really know into beer, they just probably just haven't had the right beer for them yet.
Yeah, but the thing, I don't think they want to try it because they're constantly told, "Oh, you wouldn't like beer."
Yeah,
right.
Well, I mean,
they see ads on TV.
They
it's
should
all
be
men,
drinking,
and, you know,
Sauvignon Blanc or
it really does annoy me, because I have a lot of friends who don't want to drink beer because they don't think they would like beer, just because that's pretty much the message they've been told, you know, constantly.
And I guess it has been that kind of marketing angle for a long time. Because, just even recently, we had two big, two big days, Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Mother's Day events at beer places were get a free bubbly.
Yeah.
Or the Father's Day was get a free beer.
Yeah.
Why can't they have, you know, the vice versa of that?
What if the dad likes bubbly?
Yeah. What if the dad likes red wine or spirits?
Yeah.
Or what if the mum likes beer?
I think the negative... the one thing I'd say is, like, most of the beers that I would probably go for a women's event would possibly be a bit more expensive because they're a bit more unique in styles. Like, I'd probably look to match something a bit more like a Saison or... something like that, which might be a bit more pricey.
But I think, yeah, I agree with that. But I think any beer can be a woman's beer, right?
Yeah, it's fucking beer. There's no man's beer and women's
exactly,
beer.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's just beer. And,
but like, if you're, you know, targeting at something that's more about trying to get people who haven't had it before, you're going to go for a particular style of beer.
Of course. And so there's that. And I think, you know, that's obviously... And then there's other, you know, terrible examples, like the Ale of the Time brought up. The PD... from
the panty dropper,
yeah, which is disgusting. That's such a stupid name for a beer.
We have a couple in front of us. Like there's a double D IPA, double IPA from Dominion Brewing, Dover, Delaware,
and that uses the same pinup girl imagery.
Is that like you're out, so you can do something pretty sexist, but because it's pinup, it's okay?
No, it shouldn't be.
But is that the theory? Or?
I think so, but that doesn't mean
because there is a lot of those pinup style, particularly US like pinup like, style labels.
But they're not. And a question I got was, well, what about girls who choose to dress up in that style? Are they sexist? Of course not. That's their choice. It's not a decision made by a male marketing executive.
It's just one to market cosplay, to men. I think.
But they can wear whatever they want, and you know they can't. It's not being sexist. But when a man uses it to sell to men, that's sexist, right?
But is it a man selling to a man?
Example.
Graphic designers and advertising to a degree. And are they all men working in that industry? I'm sure there's...
But they are targeting men, and that's the problem. That to me is the big problem, is that beer marketing, for the most part, markets towards men.
Yeah. I mean, traditionally it's been towards men. It still is predominantly towards men.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably the most kind of... The most well-known example amongst the craft beer community in Australia and New Zealand is Moa.
Oh, absolutely. Since then, I have had absolutely no interest in drinking a Moa beer.
The thing is, I would still drink a Moa beer. I would not pay for.
Moa beer. I'm
getting one for free. Whatever.
Can they? Is there any way they can come back from that?
I don't know.
I think in the last 3 or 4 months, they're making some pretty big strides to try and redeem themselves. I think they've realised they're fucked up. But is it savable, or are they just doomed forever to be labelled?
No, it's savable, but I don't think they've gone far enough, and I don't think they've.
I don't think that they have either. But if they're making steps in the right direction and trying to rectify those issues. They should be allowed to do that, and people should at some point are going to have to go, shit, we need to give these guys a chance.
Now, back to talking about the pinup girls on the labels and that it's men marketing to men. The beer that we're drinking at the moment, the Burley My Wife's Bitter. You know, some people could look at this and go, oh, that's probably a bit too far.
I think it's a bit tongue in cheek.
It was named by the wife.
Mm.
I think he said that it was also designed by. Or at least, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Take most of what I say with a grain of salt. I barely ever know what I'm talking about. But it's, you know, the label for the My Wife's Bitter is, all red, black and white, you know, British, English flag.
That's it.
Yeah. And a lady in a red bikini holding some barley.
That also is somewhat in that pin-up style. It's dancing with the line a little bit.
Again, everything that we say about this topic,
it's all our personal opinions.
And we're probably wrong.
And it's not from a female perspective.
It is. We're a bunch of dudes talking about this. That is the number one thing to realise. I think the other thing for me is some people don't think that there's necessarily a problem in the industry. Have you guys found that?
Some people don't want it to change, I guess.
That's always going to happen
in any industry.
It's always going to happen, I think we're not a perfect industry by any stretch, but thank God we're not the video games industry right now. Because that is an absolute shit fight, and I'm so glad we don't live in that. That's
The thing about the beer industry, and this might be a mass generalization, but everyone seems to be really cool. Even though, like, you know, there are a few bad eggs, most of the time people are, like, cool people who just want to try awesome beers.
Yeah.
Excellent beers. But it seems like it's, you know, in there's so much vitriol in the video games industry that I just, I can't understand how there could be so many
cruel people. I think the thing is that our industry is, you know, by definition, it's a more mature industry. You have to be in Australia 18 to join that industry. Whereas in video games, you know, you've got a bunch of...
You're telling me you didn't drink a beer till you were 18?
Yeah, but no, of course I did, but that doesn't make me a part of the industry, right? So, look, I think we'll probably wrap up the discussion of this topic because there's not so much we can say on it.
Mm. Well, what I wanted to ask is, I mean, like, you guys both work in craft beer venues and beer venues. Are you noticing a trend where more women are drinking beer?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's
beer.
Yeah, and that's only a good thing. The more women we have in this industry, the better quality the beer will be. I believe that 100%. I think diversity, especially in an industry like this, is key. Some of the best brewers in the country are women. I don't think either of you would disagree with me on that. Some of the best, beer tenders, lots of different areas in the industry are women, 100%. They have, that's it. It's that simple. And the more we have of that, the better the industry will be as a whole. I believe that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, what I try to do is not look and say, oh, that's a woman bringing this beer, that's a man bringing this beer. It's like, this is
an awesome beer. Yeah.
They're doing a good job.
Exactly.
And fucking good on. Like, yeah.
No, absolutely. So do we have anything else on this?
I mean, sexism in particular, I think we've covered from,
as much as we can
cover.
And so I'll mention again, obviously, the Beer Diary, Women in Beer episode. We've been planning to do something similar, and we probably still will, even though Phil beat us to it.
Probably did a better job.
But that's the story of this podcast, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not what we do. We do it just so we can justify our drinking. We would have had the same conversation if we weren't recording anyways.
Yeah, we've had this conversation.
Before. Many a time.
But I mean, I think we should cover like other bits in the beer industry that do
bug us.
Like, I mean, you know, moving on a step further from sexism, just general discrimination or inappropriateness.
Yep.
You know, like, for example, why do all these dark beers have to be named after black people? Or, you know, why does BrewDog feel they should make a protest against Vladimir Putin's anti-gay measures by making a gay joke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is just bad attempts at humor. I definitely think the BrewDog one is. It's them trying to be classic BrewDog funny and just missing the mark entirely.
I think that is the case, but
it's not excusing it.
It's not excusing it. And
I mean, my main problem with like the BrewDog one, for example, like, I'm still a massive fan of BrewDog. I love BrewDog beers, but it just sounded like a beer that was born out of an advertising meeting than a brewer's meeting.
Yeah.
They had a crazy idea, let's brew a beer about it. It wasn't like, hey, we've got this mad beer, what are we going to do with it?
And I do find that with, a lot of those stunt beers that they do, like the Royal Virility, stuff like that, it does feel like the marketing gimmick came first and the beer came second, which I think we'd all agree is not probably the best, way to do it.
I don't know. I just think there's been a big sort of let's pay the fuck out of BrewDog lately because, you know, they're now not cool enough.
Yeah, and they're big. They've got a TV show, like, they've gone Hollywood.
It's still fucking good beer.
I still like BrewDog as well.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of their new labels?
I really don't like it.
No,
I hate it.
I
don't know.
Is it just like a complete redesign?
Yeah, complete redesign. They haven't come out in Australia yet.
Okay.
I think they've only just come out in
They only just announced it like a week ago, a few weeks ago.
It's been a little while, but I don't think they're actually in production yet. If they are, they definitely haven't come out here yet.
I think the thing with redesigns is that a lot of time people don't like it at first.
Because it's different.
Every time Facebook or Twitter changes, everyone fucking complains about it. And most of the time, it's okay.
Different.
Apparently, this is different, but you know.
This to me.
They've changed the names. Like, 5 a.m. Saint is no longer called 5 a.m. Saint. It's called 5 a.m. Like,
oh, that's stupid.
And it loses the whole, like,
5 a.m. Amber. And it's, you know, it's punk IP. Everything has the style in
there. Oh, okay.
So it's 5 a.m. Amber, punk IPA.
Why don't they just name it 5 a.m. Saint Amber?
Yeah.
Because it didn't fit. It looks like it doesn't fit onto there.
Yeah.
Because every label basically looks the same, but is a different colour. I mean, which was the same with the old ones. Yeah. But
I like the old BrewDog labels. They didn't need to change.
Although I wonder if this means we'll get new BrewDog bottle openers that don't rip your hands apart. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Never.
That's the new range there.
We'll put these photos in the show notes. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of boring.
Yeah, it is. It's just boring. It's not offensive. It's just boring.
It looks like, you know, 15 other breweries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All on one kind of like shit, like superimposed on each other almost. Do you get that?
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, maybe, you know, in a year it would be like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it is a part of getting used to it. But
yeah.
Like,
it doesn't mean I don't have to like it.
As long as the beer is like still good, who gives a shit? I guess.
Right.
I guess like one of the other things I dislike about the craft beer community is it's not a widespread thing, but there's this kind of attitude of exclusivity.
It's kind of like jump on the bandwagon. Like,
yeah, it's like we own craft beer, and if you drink shit beer. Yeah. You can't be a part of it. Rather than, oh, here, try this. This is awesome.
I think that's, it's not everywhere. I think, you know, a lot of people try not to be, but I definitely got that. I remember when I was first getting into the industry and I think I came to Ale Stars one time. This would have been, three, 4 years ago. And there was just a big clique of beer nerds sitting at one table. And I'd seen them around. I didn't feel that confident to go up and just like talk, and none of them kind of came over, and not gonna lie, that still happens.
The reason I don't do that is because I'm really shy, so I won't talk to you.
Because I'm shy.
but it can be very daunting. Trying to get.
No, I see what you mean, but like,
especially
when
they always win trivia every week, every month.
Those dicks that win trivia every time.
Yeah,
not me anymore.
No.
But yeah, ever since I started working, you know, behind a bar, I've just noticed that, you know, I've just become more aware that
you really behind a bar. It is basically the bartenders at craft beer bars. They are the people who should be working the hardest to get people interested.
Yeah,
that's always been my philosophy,
and it hasn't always been the case in Sydney.
No, and there've been places that, and I think it's not just bars either. I think bottle shops as well have the same thing, and that hasn't been the case at certain places in Sydney either. I think we all know kind of who I'm thinking of. Definitely Liam.
You're
such a bastard. You're so mean to people who come into the shop.
That's why I hide all the good shit.
But my realization
is
hide
it so your staff members don't take it.
Yeah, my realization came from, you know, the fact that people come in and go, oh, do you have any normal beer in? And I'm like, I don't want to just give them the lightest tasting, beer.
And I had that at Camaray Craft when I was working there. There was a customer who came in and he was one of the locals who always drinks, the kind of the lightest thing on tap.
Yeah.
But he saw a beer on tap and he was like, oh, that looks interesting, because he loves his Japanese food and he loves wasabi.
Mm.
So he went for the doctor's orders vaccine wasabi wheat porter.
Yeah.
And he tried it and it's not super wasabi, but he loved it. And he was sinking schooners of that all night while his mates were all on, whatever. And he was pretty happy by the end of the night because it's a much stronger beer than he's probably used to. But he was loving it.
Yeah,
that might have been
his epiphany. And like I've been saying, you know, we all came from drinking shit beer. We all had our epiphanies.
And I remember when Alpha Pale Ale was the fanciest shit I knew.
I remember when Fat Yak was the fanciest shit I knew.
And there's so much snobbiness towards those beers now because they're like, oh, you know, they had their time, whatever.
It's so mainstream.
But you know, I see in my fridge my housemate buying all these so-called faux craft beers, and I'm like so fucking proud of him.
At least he's not drinking something with, and he'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, like I think the main issue with like people, especially if they don't really know what they like, is like they don't really have the vocabulary or the skills to be able to explain what they really want to look for.
Exactly.
So the most
they've never had something that they would like, so they don't even have the kind of the idea of what they would like, let alone the skills to describe.
So the easy thing to do is just to give them the lightest, most lagerish beer you've got, and it's
and oftentimes
they hate it, but
they'll drink it because they think that's what beer is, and they might not like it. They'll drink it because they drink beer. But then you have like I think beers that are perfect for that, and we're going to start retreading kind of our first episode, our Epiphanies episode. But I think like Holgate Temptress chocolate beer, perfect for that, right? You give that to someone, you're like, look. It's a dark beer, but it tastes like chocolate.
Or fucking like, Praline, or Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Or like,
I was thinking that earlier.
Quiet Dean's Vanilla Porter, man. I truck through that at work.
It's great.
Because it's a solid beer, and it's a great beer for people like, I want something a little bit sweet, or like, people don't even know that beers can do that.
Mm. And not to get too positive on this negative episode, but like, what you were saying before about the beer community being exclusive, what's the thing that, like, at least for me, the thing that I love the most about this industry are the people and talking to people and the community and, you know, the people we meet and discussions like this or just, like, sitting at the pub, whatever. And once you're in, it's easy.
Yeah, I think the flip side is, you know, once you show even the slightest bit of interest...
We'll take you in, right?
You're part of the community. There's no hazing ceremony or anything like that.
Yeah, we don't all line up with paddles. And, you know,
isn't that when we make you drink Fosters? We've done that before.
Or do a blind side tasting with two different VBs.
That was lovely.
The memories.
Gag about having a skull.
Yeah, we made you skull that. That was your hazing.
How did you haze me, by the way?
Because you inducted me into
But one other thing I want to say on that point is, like, it's in all our fucking interest for more people to drink good beer.
Yeah.
The more good craft beer that gets drunk, the more that gets made, the more breweries open, the cheaper it all fucking gets. Why does that have to be so elitist? Like,
no, exactly.
I want to pay less for my beers if I can. Like,
I want to drink good beer. Like, and I want to be able to drink it everywhere as well. And the more people that drink it, the easier it will be to get. So, I guess that's something that, does just frustrate me, is that I think... Another thing is, and this kind of goes on from that, is this is maybe a bit more specific, but places with good beer that don't necessarily know what to do with it. Do you know what? The staff aren't trained properly, and maybe the beers aren't maintained properly, and the lines aren't clean
since 1963.
Glasses are kept in the fridge and are dirty and always have lipstick on them.
There's one venue, I haven't been there yet, but there's one venue that Willie was telling me about. In the city, I think it was Stratton's, and they have two hand pumps, and they don't go through their beer, so the beers on there
are off. Yeah.
And it's just like, you just...
Drop down the one hand pump and move twice
or
as
not
much,
do,
hopefully.
Not do hand pumps at all and just have craft beer on the regular taps and... Take care of your lines.
That sounds like once upon a time there was a bar manager there who was really trying to push for something. He left and no one else is.
Yeah, it's it does sound like
reins.
That.
That might well have been what happened.
I mean, I went to Manly last weekend and went for the first time to the New Brighton Hotel.
Yeah, 33 degrees.
I mean, I didn't love the place. I had a lot of positive things. They got some great beers.
They have some great beers, yeah.
But it just feels like you're having great beers in an RSL.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
I mean, like, I completely commend them for doing it. I think they're not... Hopefully, they're still working on it. It's not quite there yet. I mean, like, they brewed a beer with Prickly Moses.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
they had like their own beer or something. Like that's
they, and they no, and they got they went down to brew. Yeah, they didn't just go Prickly Moses make this for us. They went and they brewed it and like.
But then you're still getting like. You know, like a Berliner Weiss out of a schooner glass and stuff like that. I mean, like,
yeah.
Which comes out of the fridge and stuff like that. Like, yeah, a little bit. Hopefully they can tweak it. Like, potentially be an awesome
place. But the thing with that, that's an ALH pub as well.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's a Woolies pub.
No, the big boys are going down that path.
No, like, absolutely, I agree. And I think that there are things that pubs need to do, and it's not as easy as just putting a beer on tap.
Yeah.
That you can't just put an IPA on tap and call yourself a craft.
But they had some staff members there who were really into their beers, and
that's
exactly
that's what you need. Yeah, you know, yeah. That's it. You need, if people there are into it, that's going to show. You know, it's like when we were at the Pump House. You know, it was clear that the people there were passionate about it. Mm-hmm. You could come in and you could just tell.
Yeah.
Right, and that shows when you go to somewhere like Bitterfew. Down the road, you can tell that like they're not just putting it on because all craft beer is this new.
Yeah,
like
all the staff there like it to a certain extent.
Well, they all they're all happy to try new stuff and talk about it.
Yeah,
and you know that's again not to get too positive, but like.
Yeah, I mean, I like places where like staff actually have their own opinions and they go, "Oh, this guy likes this beer, but I don't like this beer that much." Instead of just being the manager says this is a great beer, so we all say this is a great beer.
Or you ask them a question and they go, oh, just a sec. And then they bring over someone else to answer your question. It's like, well, haven't you tried the beer?
Mm.
I'm not asking for his opinion. I'm asking for your, you know.
But there's also, if people are learning and they're training, it happens on both sides. Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but then there are people who've been there for a long time that still do that. You know, and there's certain places that do that. And I don't think it's fair necessarily to name too many names.
It's hard enough finding enough craft beer people who want to drink the beers and ones who actually want to work behind the bar.
Yeah,
like,
you know, and that's
yeah,
absolutely it. Should we say what we're drinking?
Yeah,
we are drinking the La Sirene Wild Saison.
It's quite old, this bottle. It's best before July last year.
That's fine as a saison.
I know, that's why I kept it. Because this actually perfect segue. This brings us back to the question that we asked Ale of a Time, I don't know how long ago.
I can't even remember what the question was.
So the question was, were there any hyped up beers that you had and you just thought you didn't like?
Yeah.
That was our question to them.
And I mentioned like tacos.
They discussed you not liking taco. And then I think their answer was, I think Luke's answer at least, and he said this would annoy us.
Riverside 777. Yeah.
I'm putting it on the record now. Next time 777 comes out in the bottle, I'm going to mail Luke a fresh bottle.
All right. Yeah.
As soon as it comes out from the brewery, and just to give him a better go at it.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I kind of understood.
I understand him as well.
Why they don't like it, because those guys seem to be more into their kind of subtler styles, which is fine. Yeah. Like the three of us are kind of very much into extreme beers. So
yeah, but we got that beer in a much better state than they would have.
That's true as well.
It's fresher for us. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you guys try the Yeasts of Bourbon?
No, but I really want to.
I really loved it.
Yeah, same.
I thought it was so close to being as good as the Bourbon Barrel Aged American Imperial Stouts.
Yeah,
and it was fucking high praise. Yeah. It was very close.
But sorry, not to get too sidetracked. So, the beer that we're drinking now, actually, because I remember, Liam, when you and I think it was, and I don't know if Adrian, you were here, when we had a La Sirene Saison, when they first kind of came out, a few years ago.
Yeah, because it was, and I wasn't really that.
I was underwhelmed.
Yeah.
And so I bought one and I decided I'm going to put this away and see what happens to it I think it would have been, 18 months, maybe 2 years almost. If it's best before July 2013.
This when you were working at Beer Cartel that you got this?
Probably. So I put it away, and that's fucking awesome.
No, it's great.
This is really tasty. And La Sirene stuff I've had since that first underwhelming taste, you know, have been a lot better for me.
That first try of La Sirene for me was like, because the fact that it had been, it was probably about 3 or 4 months before. It came out to Sydney where we had heard all the
Melbourne hype and
going on about it.
Yeah.
I still prefer Chevalier Saison to La Sirene. This is really good.
I really like this.
I really like this. I'd agree with you that the base, the regular Saisons, I'd probably prefer the
This has that kind of Brett nose as well to it.
Well, this is the wild one. Yeah. So yeah. It would be a bit Brett. They've got a sexy lady on the label.
That's tasteful.
I think so. She's completely covered up. So
does she have clams for?
No.
Is it a mermaid? Bikinis, no. But it's not really a mermaid.
It's a siren, isn't it?
It's a siren.
Yeah.
Again, we're not 100% qualified to comment on that.
To judge this. Yeah.
You know what really pisses me off about the beer industry? It's craft beer industry. It's fucking fads. And fucking hipsters. Coming from a man who lives in Surrey Hills and has a beard, I know.
Yeah.
But I'm really over this whole thing where, like...
Have you told that story in the podcast yet?
Which story?
The guy who came in.
Ah, yeah, I'll tell that one. So, yeah, all right. So my bottle shop's in, you know, the inner west. And, you know, we have a lot of very trendy people come in.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of, like, really povo uni students come in and stuff like that as well. So there was this, like, you know, this group of young kids come in. Oh, you know, like, they were over 18. But there was, like, six of them, right? Five of them go and get a cask of wine each.
Yeah.
And then the other guys just, like, walking around for ages, looking at the fridges, looking at the beers. You know, I go and ask him if he wants a hand. He's like, no, it's fine. And then they're all paying him out because he picks up a couple of beers. And I can't remember what he had. Oh, it was like a Stonewood Stone beer and something like that. And yeah, he comes up and they're like, oh, what have you got there? He was like, oh, you know, I just can't drink like year-round release beers. I can only drink limited release beers.
I think that, that gets to the core of what you're saying as well, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, fads and, you know, like we had... what have been some of it? Like there was a phase where rye IPAs were a big thing.
Yeah,
red IPAs have been a big thing.
Well,
there's two things.
There's a thing where sometimes it's just a natural evolution, but sometimes like every brewer will start to release like a rye IPA or something like that, or a red rye IPA, or and that's one thing. But then there's the people like who like all of a sudden decide that saison's the greatest thing in the world. They've been there for fucking ever.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of a sudden, one person goes, I love saisons. And everyone's like, fucking saisons are the best. I love fucking saisons.
Do you know who you sound like right now?
Who?
You sound like Adam. You honestly do. Yeah.
No, I'm getting bitter. But it's just like, there'll be a beer I have in the fridge at work, right? And it would have been there for 6 months. But then one person will read a review that someone put on Rate Beer or something saying how they love the beer. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, you got that beer in now. Like, that beer's amazing. It's like, no, it's been there for like 6 months.
Yeah, you
like,
know blending beer is the new thing?
Yeah.
It's like that kind of thing. It's like, dude, blending beers have been a thing for a long time.
Yeah.
It's like black and tans, you know? I still get odd looks when I do black and tans.
Yeah, black and tans are awesome. I haven't done them for a while. Actually.
Did I tell you did you hear the one I did not too long ago?
Which one?
I did a bit of few. Mikkeller 1000 IBU and Mikkeller Black and Tan. That was a pretty fucking insane Black and Tan.
1000 Imperial Black units. Yeah. Is that what you called it?
Imperial Black units.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, to answer the question, Liam.
Sorry, rant over. My inner Adam's receded back in.
Ale of Time also asked us a question.
So wait, hold on. But so your answer to our question was... Wild Saison or Lacerain Saison?
Oh, no, I was just saying, it just reminded me of that. I don't know what the exact one that I said was when we... Did we answer it? No, we wouldn't have.
No.
Fuck, did I?
I gave an example, but I don't think
you
guys...
You would have said Taco.
Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, we talked about Millennium Falcon as well as another one.
I think there's lots of examples. Just trying to think of one off the top of my head.
But I'm not, like, rubbishing those beers.
No,
I'm just saying,
no, it's not your, not yeah, your yeah, thing, personally. Yeah.
I've got to say, I'm not that big a fan of the Mawas Bitter.
Yeah, it's okay.
I
guess, like, after having the Sex, Drugs, and Rocky Road, which is, like, a super rich,
sweet
beer.
Yeah, it's not the
beer,
best thing to follow up with.
You don't really want to follow it with to use the phrase, a sessionable beer.
It's just very lagerish, just with colouring.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like, classic kind of English bitter.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'll defend this beer. I'll defend my wife's bitter. Yeah. It's not an extreme beer. It's not...
It doesn't have to be, but
it's not the
bitter?
Best Pardon?
Is it a bitter? Or is it just a darker coloured lager?
I think it's an English.
I think it's got more body than a lager. It's not quite as dry and crisp. It does have... It's got a bit of more of a longer, sweeter finish rather than just a dry, kind of crisp lager finish. And it's got a bunch of malt. Like, it does have it. It's just... It's not the biggest bitter. It's not the... Yeah. It's not an ESB. It's just a nice, kind of light, easy to drink bitter. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a beer I'll have every day, but it's one that I'd be more than happy to drink if I had to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the one that I... that I never really got was a beer that we've had on the show before. It was the Temple Scarlet Sour.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried it the first time. It was a bar, and I can't remember. I think it was out of the bottle. And I thought it was just kind of... It smelled chemically, like a...
I know what you mean.
Nail polish remover type smell. And I was like, you know, this can't be right. Everyone's saying it's amazing. And, you know, so I tried it again. And it was the same.
Yeah.
And then I tried it again, third time, just to make sure.
Yeah.
And it was the same. And it was like, I've tried this three times.
Maybe, yeah, it's just not your thing.
I can't really get it. But I kind of want to try it again, because everyone still says it's fucking awesome.
I just thought it needed just a little bit of sweetness, just to get that... what the flower, what was the adjunct in it? It was,
is it hibiscus?
Hibiscus, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And cranberry was in it as well. Was that?
Possibly. Yeah. I thought it just needed a little bit more sweetness to carry that across. But
yeah, I know the beer is one of the favourites of, you know, the Ale of the Time boys. But I think they've had it on tap, so they might. I've never had it on tap.
No, we've only ever had it in the bottle up here in Sydney.
So maybe if I have it on tap, it'll be fine.
No, Super Scarlet was the
Super Scarlet was the Gatsby.
That said, maybe my nose is just way too sensitive, because I had the Wild Feijoa Sour, I think it might have been 8-wide, that made it when I was over in Birvana recently.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was saying it's fucking amazing, and I thought it had the same character.
Maybe
I had that same kind of...
But yeah, I get that with some beers. I get a weird taste that no one else seems to get, and I just have to...
Well, I was talking
That's just
to,
my taste buds, I think.
Mm. I was having a beer a little while ago with some of the brewers from the Squires Brewery.
Yep.
And I really like those guys. I get along with them. Well, the brewery's just
really
down the
like
road from my work.
Well,
They're really good guys. I think the brewery's been not on the forefront of being creative as being... But they're definitely...
It's been a stalwart.
I think I might have raised it on here before, the fact that they're starting to do some pretty cool stuff. But I was talking to them about faults, and they were saying how, I mean, they're all, you know, professional brewers, and how different people have can pick up a more sensitive to different types of faults.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't pick up diacetyl.
Yeah, exactly. And they were saying how one of the guys is, like, ultra, ultra sensitive to diacetyl, and then...
Yeah.
But they're saying if you can get sort of a... That's why you got to have like a bit of a group of them.
Yeah.
So then when they go through their
tasting like Captain
panels,
Planet.
Yeah. With our powers combined. Like,
except that would be the worst Captain Planet. I can smell diacetyl. Right. I can smell acetaldehyde.
Diacetyl. I am Captain Beerfault.
Oh, fuck.
So I think I will say that the first time I had the La Sirene Saison, not the Wild Saison, that was one that disappointed me, and I will admit that in recent times I have grown to love it.
And so I think like when they first started, I've loved it the whole time, but when they first started they had trouble with especially bottling where it would have especially over carbonation. Like
And that you'd open
a bottle and it would just gush.
Been. Yeah.
And that ruins a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Black Lung 1. That ruined Black Lung 1 for me.
Yeah.
It was fine out of tap. Bottles, shit. Because it was just overcarbonated, the ones that I got.
But, I mean, that's just... Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's one of the struggles of being that smaller size brewery and then trying to upscale and, you know, and just being better brewers, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Moondog, for example, have... I don't know. In my opinion,
they've mastered it. Yeah,
I've still heard stories here and there of a couple of.
But I think for the most part, they've fixed that.
Yeah.
So Ale of the Time asked us a question as well. Mm. So question back. So we've started back up with the with the back and forth. And the question they asked us, and I'm paraphrasing this because I was in the episode a while ago, and this is from memory. But it was kind of, what lengths will you go for beer is kind of the...
Yeah.
So for like a beer, like, you know, would you line up for Pliny the Younger?
Fuck no.
For hours. I agree with you 100%. No,
that's the weird thing, though. I wouldn't line up for hours for Pliny the Younger, as hyped up and, you know, even if it is that as good as the hype dictates. But, paradoxically, I would drive way out of my way to go to a really obscure brewery just to visit the brewery.
That's different.
I think that'd be really cool.
Like, I mean, every time I go on holidays, they end up always being quite beer-orientated holidays.
Yeah.
But that's enjoyable for me. Like, I enjoy,
But I think the experience of going to a brewery and exploring that brewery and their products as a whole, even if it's a hyped brewery, is different than this one beer's coming out, it's only going to be available for one day. Are you going to line up for 8 hours to get a bottle of that beer?
Yeah.
I think it's different.
I think at the end of the day is I do not find standing in a line enjoyable.
No.
I quite enjoy traveling to find crazy places and, you know...
Are any beers worth that level of hype?
I could stand in line for 8 hours, or I could sit in the pub for 8 hours and fucking look at absolutely.
It's like I have one of these beers or a couple of like this, you know, probably incredible but very hyped beer, or have a lot of also incredible beers. And not have to line up for them. I'll take the not having to line up and still drink incredible beer.
Is it a matter of time, though? Because would you pay... Like, let's talk about money.
Yeah.
Would you pay $70 for an Imperial Stout, for example?
Just to try it?
And I have as well.
Yeah.
I would not... I mean, I have... But usually with that or something, I'll buy that with friends. So none of us pay $70. We all pay.
It wouldn't be like blind thing. If I was at some bar and this guy's like, "Hey man, like we've got one last bottle of this hectic beer. It's $70, and no one knows anything about it." I'm not gonna be like, "Nah." I'm gonna be like, "No." But if it's something that I knew and I had heard, you know, other people's feedback on.
And you wanted to try.
And I was interested in...
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that...
But yeah, like I said, I'd probably find someone to share it with. I mean, like...
But like, I wouldn't pay... You know, there have been bottles of Westy 12 in Sydney over the last couple of months that have been going
last
for...
Year, like around
over
80,
the last year, yeah.
80 to 100 bucks.
Yeah. 80 to 100 bucks. And like, I
per,
still...
Per bottle.
Per bottle.
Per bottle. 330 ml bottle, yeah.
Yes. I still haven't tried Westy 12, and I'm not willing to pay that much for it.
I should have saved a bottle for you, sorry.
I'll
try it eventually. I'm not.
Bron's got a bottle which she paid $50 for, and that's probably like the upper limit.
That's definitely the.
I would pay $50.
I think
for
I would.
Just because I've never had it.
The thing is that like with that beer, I know I'm going to get to try. Like I'm not. It's not like they only make it once. They make it, and if anything, I think they're upping production a bit. Is that
or
something?
So.
And so.
But you can't get it without the label anymore. No.
I know. Well, whatever. It's just a fucking label. Does it really affect the fucking beer? It was cool because it didn't have a label. Fuck you. This is good. We're all getting it out of our system. It's therapeutic.
So just to flip it back to time, how long will you be willing to wait?
I don't do lines. I don't even like waiting for 20 minutes to get into my muck. Like,
so my philosophy with waiting is that, you know, how much money would I be getting paid if I was working?
That's a good
idea. So time equals money for me. So
time is money.
If I'm willing to pay, you know, $70 for a beer, would I be willing to wait $70 worth of time for a beer?
It's a personal choice. I'm not going to pay someone out who chooses to do that, but I'm personally not going to do it.
Yeah, same. Like, I guess waiting in line for a beer, like, I don't know if I'd do that. But if it was, like...
I will travel for beer.
But for example, say... Yeah, I'll travel for beer happily. Yeah. And say, for example, we're recording at the local tap house today, and they do their spectaculars. And occasionally for that, there'll be a line outside, especially at the start of the day, to get in.
Yeah, I usually wait, like, you know... I usually line up about
10-15 minutes before they open. Yeah. But then they usually open like 15 minutes late, so they end up lining up for 30 minutes.
But like that's also, you know, you kind of, I don't see that as I'm lining up just for the beer. That's kind of like
just crowd management, though. It's just like there's this many people are trying to get into one door frame at the one time. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
And like, for me, it's more just like a lot of the time I don't have the full day to spend drinking beer, and you know, I want to get as many in as possible before I have to do something else.
You're so full of shit.
I'll put it another way. I don't have the full. I don't have the whole day to spend time drinking beer at one place.
Yeah,
you know, that's the. So I'll line up, and the other thing is, I know, especially for that line, everyone in that line is probably a friend of mine.
Yeah, you know, and you talk to each other, and it's cool.
It's always like whoever's first in line gets a bit of cred. Yeah. But
yeah, but I think this is
like, you're front of the line again. Well
done.
I think it's the same thing with
Pliny the Younger Day. It's like, you know, you have cred for being in the line and whatever.
So would you line up for
it's
Yeast
bragging
of
rights,
Bourbon?
Yeah, probably not. But the thing I don't like about the Pliny the Younger release is that they're not the only bar that gets Pliny the Younger.
Yeah.
Heaps of other bars get Pliny the Younger, but they make like a fucking big deal about it. There's bars that in Northern California that get it, don't make a big deal about it, don't even fucking tweet anything about it that they have Pliny the Younger on. They just tap it, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
I just walk into a bar and I haven't actually done this, but apparently people just walk into bars and go, "Oh, Pliny the Younger's on, awesome." I didn't have to line up.
Do they order a beer and then sit it for 8 hours and then have it after 8 hours?
Yeah. I think you have to. That's the rule. Yeah. I did line up for, it was 45 minutes, and that was starting to get a bit long for the Shenanigans launch on Craft Beer Rising at Spoon and Goats.
Oh, yeah. But Spoon and Goats can fit like 20 people or something.
Yeah, so. And
but
it was also
kind of the same thing, though.
Yeah, but it was also, I don't know.
I think it's also, like, I think we did it because we knew Sam.
And also, like, I know Jason as well. And, I wasn't annoyed that I had to line up because the place was full.
Yeah.
And it was one in, one out. And the fact that Spoonie Goats is full makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like we're helping friends of ours.
Yeah. So I was happy to line up. Lily was in the line with me, so we had a good chat. You know.
But if you lived in that part of California and you were going to that thing, you'd know everyone in the line as well.
Yeah, well, and maybe I would line up then. It's possible, you know.
Yeah.
That I would line up for that if I knew everyone.
I think
for me it's less about like the time. I'm happy to do it for me. Like, I'm happy to spend time with beer drinking people. Mm. That's.
You allowed roadies in the line? That's a big.
That would probably change it for me. If it's 8 hours without beer, I doubt I'd do that for a beer. But if it's 8 hours while we can kind of treat some stuff,
then you've got to take a leak, you lose a spot in the line.
Well, if you're a big group, you know,
What, now?
No. So once you've all emptied out the growler, you know, you can use that. That's
Bonus question. Would you go to the front of the line just so you can sell that spot in a line?
No.
If
I've got the front of the line, I'm staying at the
fucking
front of
the line. Is that a dick move?
That is a dick move.
It's like if you line up for an iPhone 6 and then sold your place for an iPhone 6.
Fuck you. That ruined, like, you know what? No, the person who sells their thing, don't have a problem with that. The person who buys it, fuck you. Seriously? You're going to pay money and wait?
Why haven't we heard all those stories about, like, all the big fucking high flyers who send their personal assistants to line up in lines for, like, when the new iPhone comes out and shit like that?
Bullshit, yeah. So, I think we should take a quick break, and we'll come back with a question that we're going to ask the Ale of Time guys. So,
and recommendations.
And recommendations. All right, cool. So, take a break.
Sweet.
All right, and we're back.
I guess we should start talking about the beer that we're currently drinking.
So for the last half an hour, we've probably been sitting on the one beer.
And without mentioning
I haven't even had a sip of it.
Yeah. Hands up. I'm not giving the name of this beer because I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Eschatological.
Eschatological, I think. Eschatological. Yeah.
So it's from Stillwater.
Stillwater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stillwater. Artisanal Ales, is that the...
Yeah. So I wanted to bring another beer, but I forgot to pick one up, so that's why I brought this one instead. Have any of you guys tried the Angel of Zest, the Stillwater collab with Edge Brewing, which they did during Good Beer Week?
No. Yeah. Is it good? Recommend it?
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to bring today. Because I really enjoyed it. But I forgot, so I had this at home, so I brought this instead.
Okay, cool.
I don't know anything about this beer.
The label does not tell me anything either. Oh, actually, it's called... So it's... The actual name of it is the Stillwater Artisanal As Follows.
As Follows.
So As Follows is the name of the beer.
Okay.
And it's described as an eschatological ale.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a great description.
Whatever that means.
And they just have the definition of follow as the tasting notes on it. So that's really useful. So follow.
I mean, it's a fun.
I'm getting like, you know, stuff.
Well, of course
like,
it is. It's
I'm still, getting like elderflower.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that. I thought it was yummy.
It's quite yummy.
Yeah. So Stillwater is one of those breweries. Like especially if it's something that I haven't got into my shop and I see it somewhere, I just buy it. I don't think I've had a.
Been disappointed by a few. I'm going to put that out there. That was one I was thinking of saying as the answer to the last question because there was, I think it was the premium, Stillwater premium, and I had it.
There was one
was
they had on bottle here, Tap House, which wasn't that.
Yeah, that's
I think it was. I think it was the premium. Yeah, because I remember
the Tap House had here,
the same thing.
The premium and the Cellar Door.
Yeah,
and the Cellar Door was awesome, and the premium were excellent, and the premium was not. And I just I don't know what it was. I just did not. Like it. I mean, if close to the date, because this was a while ago, I would have been able to tell you what I didn't like. I just, I haven't had it for a while. I think I still have a bottle of it at home that's probably 2 years old, so it might have changed.
Let's have a crack.
You know, we'll crack that sometime. But we've got a question to send back to Luke and Dave at Ale of a Time, kind of tying in with the whole, you know, how far would you go for beer? It's kind of like, what is that one beer that you would do that for? So what's your white whale? If you have a white whale.
Your white ale?
A white whale.
A white whale.
No, Murray's Whale Ale.
Yeah.
It's not the Murray's Whale Ale.
Okay.
Because you can find that everywhere.
Yeah. Can you in Melbourne, you reckon?
Oh, actually, good point. I don't know.
I'm sure.
That second question, can you find Murray's Whale Ale everywhere in Melbourne?
That's what I want to know. That's,
so, yeah, it's
we're asking the pressing questions on Sessionable.
Because my white whale ale is Murray's Hell of the North. This year's brew of Hell of the North got recalled. The bottles did at least.
I had a friend who grabbed a bottle of the recalled Hell of the North.
Was there like glass shards in it? Like the
I didn't actually get an explanation, but I had pre-ordered it and it was en route and it got recalled. And the only reason I ordered it for work is, like I do for most of the beers I order at work, because I want to drink it, and I haven't had it before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one beer that I've heard lots of things about that I really want to try.
It's pretty tasty. I think, Murray's are great at their big black beers, you know. They really are. So that's the question we got for you. And I think we'll start wrapping up the episode. Well, before we do, we're on our final beer. And this is one that was, I think it was mentioned on the Beer Diary podcast.
Yeah, this is why I picked it up when I was in Wellington recently, when I was there for Beervana. The Tuatara Black Toasted Malt Edition. Not racist, because it doesn't mention black people. It just mentions the colour of the beer.
It doesn't have a
And it has toasted malt. And is this with, is it 100% toast? Is that what
I think they took the malt and then they toasted all of the malts that they put into the beer.
Oh, okay. So they had a regular kind of malt beer for malt bill for a beer like this and then toasted everything.
Yeah.
So that's for those
I think so.
But we're all tasting the toast.
No, you're chasing the toast.
Tasting the toast is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Chasing the toast.
But it's just so rich, this one.
This is delicious. I'm a big fan of this.
And how cool are these new Tuatara bottles?
I do like the new ones. They're cool.
It's like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
It's a Tuatara. Tuatara's a lizard, right?
Yeah.
So, should we move on to recommendations and wrap it up?
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Not me.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm going to recommend LP's Quality Meats.
So this is our non-beer recommend.
That was mine.
Oh, you been?
Yeah, I went last week. Yeah,
oh, nice.
Yeah,
you liked it? Yeah.
Yeah. So
of course you did.
So
your name's LP.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
so Tom and I went a few weeks ago
with Kale, Manda, and Rory.
Yeah, from the Melbourne crew.
Yeah, yeah,
and
sweet.
It's good to see them.
And amazing smoked meats. It just smells
just
so
fucking
awesome in
smell
there.
As
yeah, it smells amazing.
Sorry,
yeah.
You've got another smoked meat. It's the smoked meat place you can probably recommend, right?
Yeah.
I won't take
and,
that.
And, you know, as a massive bonus, they have great beer on tap as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, really? Like, they had what? They had Nomad and Brew Cult on tap.
Yeah.
So, like, and Boat Rocker, and it's like...
Yeah.
Oh,
and
there's
it,
a place...
So it's changed, because when I went on Thursday last week, and it was... they had... The Nomad IPA.
Yep, that's what they have.
They had the Grifter Coven Amber Ale.
Okay.
The Coven Amber
had
Ale.
That, so that's.
They had. There was a pretty decent pale as well. Was,
did they have the Boat Rocker Pilsner?
No, it wasn't.
That was,
no.
Okay.
So yeah, they changed like almost.
That's great. They're rotating
yeah,
as well.
So it's like four taps, but. Mm.
That's really, really cool.
So I was talking to the bar manager because I got there a bit early, so I was just sitting at the bar having a few beers.
Yeah.
And so they're basically. Hopefully, if all goes well, so we need to send the word out to get the beer nerds out there. Because
go there,
the
beer nerds. Yep.
The more the beer nerds that go out there, they will start looking at doing a bottle range and stuff like that as well. So
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my problem
and
is...
In fact, it's a 2-minute walk from my new house.
My problem is it's open Wednesday to Sunday, which is the days that I'm working. So
yeah.
I'll get there.
That
I'll get there rarely, but
yeah.
I love the place.
Yeah. Mm. Do you have one, Liam, or...?
Well, on the barbecue theme, yeah. Was the other place we went, I think most of us went, was Jazz City Barbecue, which is like a more of a full Texas style barbecue smokes.
Yeah.
The new edition of the carving camera really makes
great.
It for
yeah.
me. So,
yeah.
I think it's Jared, who's the name of the dude who owns
and any place that you order by the kilo is fucking awesome.
It's dangerous.
Great. And at the moment they don't have their liquor license, so it's BYO. So we were there. We had a Brew Cult pepper steak porter, and we gave it to the chef, and he fucking loved it.
Yeah.
He was like, because he's his meats are massive smoked, and he was like, oh, I don't know if my food can stand up to this beer.
It worked really well. Especially the pork ribs.
That's pretty high praise.
Yeah.
All those pork ribs.
I dreamt about those. The brisket was my favourite.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my plan is
the
to go.
The pork turkey was great.
Yeah. Oh,
that
was, oh. I'm my keen to try that blackened salmon that wasn't available.
I like blackened salmon. So my plan is to go there as often as possible before they get the liquor license.
Yeah.
So then when they do, he'll still let us bring bottles in. So yeah.
All right. My recommendation is... not anything to do with barbecued meats. I'm sorry, guys.
Get out!
Episode.
This episode is over!
Our producer just signaled to us. It's like, stop the episode. And I did mention it earlier, and I said it would be my recommendation. So I think everybody who's listening to this should really go listen to the Beer Diary podcast, and specifically, I mean, every episode's great.
Yes.
I've started listening to it and gone back and listened to a bunch, and it's man, I wish we could be that good. But, we'll still keep doing what we're doing.
And actually, at Beervana, he did a live episode.
And, and we're going to steal ideas, right?
And I went there to steal ideas from
him,
so sorry, Phil.
Speaking of stealing ideas from him, I think we will do that, an all-woman episode of Session Hall. But we've been meaning to do that for a while, so... But like I'm going to put links in the show notes to the two-parter Women in Beer episode they did, because it is just fantastic. The women they had that Phil and George got to record absolutely know their shit, and great to listen to and drink some awesome beers. And I actually learned so much from listening to it as well.
Yeah,
not just about women in beer, but just about beer, about... the science behind tasting, and I would recommend everybody listen to that. That's my recommendation.
Awesome.
And they know a lot more about sex in the beer industry than we would. So we're gonna wrap it up.
Liam has to go to dinner somewhere.
Sorry. I'm gonna be in real trouble if I don't get there in like 5 minutes.
Alright, as always, I'm at A Study in Beer on Twitter.
I'm at Adrian Pua.
I'm at The Beer Lebowski.
Cool. And you can find us all at Sessionable Pod. Is that the one we're using?
Yes, that's the one.
Cool. And we're on Facebook. We're on iTunes. Give us a rating. Blah, blah, blah. It'd be awesome if you... Excellent if you do.
And let us know how the new gear
is sounding. We've been recording this episode on new gear. If you like the sound of it, or if you think we can improve a bit further, let us know. And also let us know if you think we should do t-shirts. I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah. Alright, I gotta run.
Alright, see you later. Sessionable!